Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 17th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures gain after another record close for stocks.
Data out of China show the economy stabilizing to end the year.
The yield curve steepens as the U.S. announces plans for 20-year bonds.
And the Labor Department moves ahead with plans to tighten control over economic data.
The impeachment trial of President Donald Trump opens in the Senate, plus more accusations from a former associate of Rudy Giuliani about Ukraine. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Carlos Beltran's Mets managerial career over before it started due to Beltran's involvement in the Houston sign-stealing scandal. Knicks and Devils lost. Rangers beat the Islanders.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/IMS.
U.S. futures are higher after another record close for the S&P 500. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 75. NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany is up 0.75%. The CAC in Paris up 1%. FTSE 100 up 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.5%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 2.36. Yield 1.81%. Yield on the 2-year 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 11 cents at $58.63 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $4.80 at $15.55.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1128 against the dollar. The yen is at 110.17. Nathan
and Karen, we begin with data out of China this morning showing some stabilization to end the year. The world's second largest economy grew 6% in the fourth quarter, while retail sales, fixed asset investment, and industrial output all beat estimates. Supriya Menon is multi-asset strategist at Pictet Asset Management.
The economy is stabilizing. That's certainly been our expectation. And better news on the industrial front slash fixed asset investment. That has been a bit weaker through this downturn. So that we would take as a positive sign. That said, this stabilization is taking place against a backdrop of declining trend growth. So when we say that the growth rate is the lowest in X years, expect that to continue to be the case.
Well, there were concerns that the trade war and China's struggle with bad debt risked more deceleration in the fourth quarter. Instead, investment picked up for the first time since June.
As the ink dries on the U.S.-China Phase 1 trade deal, the EU's new trade chief is in Washington to boost Europe's relationship with America. EU Trade Commissioner Phil Hogan weighed in on the agreement in an interview with Bloomberg.
For the first time, there is movement on the Chinese side to accommodate the United States' request for to deal with, you know, secrets and intellectual theft in terms of the intellectual property area. So I think we can build, this is an example of where we can build some positive agenda and alignment in relation to how we deal with these issues.
At the same time, the EU trade commissioner took a swipe at the U.S.-China deal, saying it smacked of managed trade. At a later speech in Washington, Hogan said President Trump's America First agenda is creating an international trade crisis.
We must call out the narrative that the United States has a trade deficit or an unfair trading relationship with the European Union. In reality, the relationship is both balanced and highly mutually beneficial.
The EU trade chief calls White House tariff threats short-sighted electioneering and warns of economic damage from protectionist policies.
Meantime, Microsoft is praising the partial U.S.-China trade deal. Chief Legal Officer Brad Smith tells us it's a, quote, indisputably good and important step.
It absolutely adds stability. It creates a foundation for additional progress. It adds to business confidence.
Microsoft stock closed at an all-time high yesterday, rising 1.8% to finish above $166 a share. At the same time, we saw Alphabet surpass $1 trillion in market cap. It now joins Microsoft, Apple, and Saudi Aramco as the only companies valued at over $1 trillion.
It was another positive session for stocks in Asia overnight, though the gains were moderate. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us now from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index posted a seventh weekly gain. In the same week, the Phase 1 US-China trade deal was signed. That is the longest winning streak for Asian stocks in 2 years and on track to match the longest winning streak in nearly 6 years. China's CSI 300 was little changed Friday, while both the on and offshore currencies traded at fresh six-month highs. Now, next week, focus for Asian investors turns to earnings season. More than 300 companies on the MSCI Asia Pacific Index due to report over the coming fortnight. In Singapore, I'm Juliette Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliette, thank you. Back here in the U.S., the Treasury starts selling 20-year bonds in the coming months. The agency predicts strong demand for the notes. Richard Jones is an FX and rate strategist for Bloomberg.
We have long-end yields rising with the announcement of this new 20-year supply that Steve Mnuchin brought forward. I think we'll see a steepening of the curve because the short end, as long as it stays anchored, I think that equities will probably do okay. If we do get increased supply, I think we could see the curve steepening and longer-end yields rising.
The Treasury Department will provide more details on the 20-year bonds in an announcement next month.
Earlier this week, we reported that the government was planning to tighten control over economic data releases. Now it's official, and here with the details is Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The Labor and Commerce Departments will ban computers from the room where journalists receive advanced access to economic reports like monthly job figures. They say the move is due to news organizations profiting off their special access. The change takes effect March 1st and could cause delays in the publication of stories and data by media organizations. It may also spur an arms race among high-speed traders to get the numbers first and profit off the data. I'm Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. As the Federal Reserve watches data like the monthly jobs report, it could do so with two new members. The White House says President Trump plans to nominate Judy Shelton and Christopher Waller to the central bank. We originally reported the plans over the summer, but a formal announcement didn't come till now. The nominations now move to the Senate.
Turning to corporate news now, shares of the Gap up 5.5% in early trading after the retailer said it no longer plans to spin off Old Navy. The Gap also forecast profit for 2019 to be above its previous range.
Shares of CSX fell 3% in late trading after warning sales will drop this year. The railroad says sales fell 8% in the fourth quarter, even as it cut costs to boost efficiency. Futures moving higher this morning. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. At 5:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr on this Friday morning to let us know what else is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. As the anxious wait begins for Tuesday's opening arguments in the impeachment trial, President Trump is making it clear he wants to get it over with. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
If he gets his way, the trial will be short.
Well, I think it should go very quickly. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. Everybody knows that. It's a complete hoax.
But Trump may not get his way. Republican Susan Collins of Maine is said to be insisting on an up or down vote on calling witnesses. She issued a statement saying she tends to believe having additional information would be helpful. Democratic leader Chuck Schumer says he hopes his colleagues will feel the solemnity of the moment.
Gives me some hope that a number of our Senate colleagues will rise to the occasion.
Schumer says the gravity of the charges shouldn't be easily dismissed. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Lev Parnas, a former associate of Rudy Giuliani, said that then-Energy Secretary Rick Perry told Ukraine's president that he had to announce an investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden. Parnas, in the second part of an MSNBC interview, says Perry went to Ukraine with that message last May when he attended the inauguration of President Volodymyr Zelensky. Five countries whose citizens died when Iran shot down an airliner last week say Iran should pay compensation to families of the victims and warn that the world is watching for its response. Canadian Foreign Minister François-Philippe Champagne met with other officials from Ukraine, Sweden, Afghanistan, and the UK.
We will continue to share information and lessons learned with each other, to stand in solidarity, and to speak with one voice as we pursue justice for the victim of this horrific tragedy.
All 176 people aboard, including 57 Canadians, were killed. President-designate Puerto Rico, a major disaster area after a series of earthquakes, that shocked the bankrupt island, damaged power plants, school buildings, and homes. Meanwhile, House Democrats released a $3.35 billion supplemental spending measure to assist Puerto Rico. This is sentencing day for former Congressman Chris Collins, who pleaded guilty to insider trading.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, and Carlos Beltran, all part of the World Series-winning Astros of 2017. Hinch, the manager, Cora, the bench coach, Beltran, the respected veteran in this final season. In a span of 4 days, all three lost their managerial jobs for their roles in sign-stealing gates. So the Mets have joined the Red Sox and Astros looking for a new manager a month before spring training. Mets GM Brody Van Wagenen said they were completely blindsided by the revelations about Beltran.
We all were surprised. We all did not see, or certainly, you know, I did not see, nor did anyone in the Mets organization have any knowledge that this situation happened in 2017 or that there was the potential for this information becoming public. We simply had no knowledge.
They did hire Beltran before the story broke, but after it did and Beltran was mentioned, they never asked him about it. An apologetic Beltran released a statement admitting fault. At the Garden, Phoenix pulled away from the Knicks 121-98. Three Suns scored 25 or more. Julius Randle had 26 to the Knicks. Two games went over. Time Denver sent Golden State to a 10th loss in a row, and New Orleans topped Utah. That ends the Jazz 10-game winning streak. At the Coliseum, Rangers beat the Islanders for the second time in four nights. Chris Kreider on the power play with 25 seconds left for a 3-2 Ranger win. Devils lost in Washington 5-2, the 25th career hat trick for Alex Ovechkin. College basketball wins locally for Hofstra, Manhattan, and Monmouth. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. And join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. Fresh off signing a new labor deal, we talk with WNBA Players Association Director Terry Jackson. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. Head of the Friday morning open on Wall Street, futures moving higher after yesterday's record close. S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures a gain of 89, NASDAQ futures higher by 33.5 points. 10-year down 2/32, yield on the 10-year note 1.81%, 2-year treasury yield 1.55%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are marching higher alongside U.S. stock index futures as a solid start to earnings season, easing trade tensions, and promising economic data all combine to lift sentiment. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The S&P futures are up 10 points this morning. Dow futures up 91. NASDAQ futures up 37. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.81%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 38 cents at $58.90 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $4.10 at $15.54.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1126 against the dollar, British pound 1.3055, and the yen 110.19. It's a busy day for economic data. We're watching for reports on housing starts and building permits at 8:30 Wall Street time. Then at 9:15, industrial production and capacity utilization. Begin a look at consumer sentiment at 10, along with the JOLTS jobs report. And State Street is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The Senate has been sworn in for President Trump's impeachment trial. The Government Accountability Office claims the Trump administration violated the law to withhold money Congress had appropriated for Ukraine. President Trump says he has done nothing wrong. A new poll shows Senator Bernie Sanders is now tied with former Vice President Joe Biden for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination among registered voters. According to a Reuters Ipsos national poll, 20% back Sanders. The Carlos Beltran era with the Mets ended before it even began. Beltran, who is caught up in MLB's sign-stealing accusations, is out as the team's manager just as he was ready to start his first season with the Mets. He is the third manager to be fired in the scandal. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics and Warriors. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Islanders. The Devils lost to the Capitals. The Bruins won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, thanks, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. On this Friday morning, we're pleased to welcome back Stephen Gallo, head of European FX Strategy at BMO Capital Markets. Good to have you with us, as always, this morning, Stephen, as we continue to look ahead to the latest economic data around the world. We just got retail sales out of the United Kingdom, an unexpected 0.6% drop in December. The economists had been expecting the exact opposite. There's been a lot of feeling that the Bank of England is going to cut rates. Does this seal the deal?
It very well may. I think the data were rather disappointing. A lot of the data for Q4 from the UK have been rather disappointing. But I would note with the retail sales figure, there is a lot of noise around the turn of the year because you have things like the Black Friday effect, you have weather phenomenon, you have the expectation for January discounting. So there's a lot of noise in the data. But I think on the whole, regardless of what the BOE do this month, the fiscal picture for the UK is too positive to ignore, too potentially positive, I should say, to ignore. I think really what this data do, if anything, it suggests that the election, which has ushered in a period of political stability for the UK, came really at the right time. And if anything, this data strengthened the case for a combination of long-run fiscal policy support for the economy and also short-run counter-cyclical support. So I think you have to continue to fade instances of weakness in the pound, particularly versus the euro. So if you're looking at euro sterling, the levels up towards 86, we think are a sell, and certainly above that level are a sell.
What's your outlook for the euro as we look ahead to Christine Lagarde's first policy decision as president of the European Central Bank?
Pretty flat, I have to say, for euro-dollar. I realize that, and I recognize that there are a lot of commentators calling for a rebound in the euro on the better global growth picture, and certainly heading into 2020, there's no doubt that globally things are looking a little bit perkier. Risk assets are certainly perkier, but there are a lot of long-term structural political problems in the eurozone that are yet to come, and also, of course, you have the trade issue. The ECB doesn't really have the tools to counteract a lot of these things. You could argue that with Trump in the White House, and even if Trump doesn't get reelected in November, the U.S. defensive policies on trade are not going to go away. And you could argue that these are perhaps euro bullish because it means that the ECB is less likely to have or to want a competitive devaluation of the euro. But once the euro starts appreciating, all of these issues like drags on economic growth, drags on inflation, the debt problem, the fact that the eurozone is a system of fixed exchange rates, basically, they all come back to the surface and they're all quite negative issues. So for now, we're saying basically flat. And what we don't have in our euro-dollar profiles, we don't have this upward trajectory, which I think many houses have, because they're more positive on the domestic situation in Europe and more positive on the global economy than I'd say we are.
Are you thinking that we'll see any demonstrable move from Lagarde on this policy review that she's been undertaking ahead of this decision?
It's a long-run issue, but I think the mistake that you could potentially make is to think that this is all very technocratic and economic. It's not. The ECB is a highly, highly political beast. Draghi proved that with his whatever it takes remarks back in 2012. The strategy review, the inflation target, what the ECB is going to do with the capital key, the issuer limits, this is all so political. And I think a lot of it is going to depend on how the political situation evolves in Germany, how it evolves in Italy. We have state elections coming up in Italy this month. There could be snap elections in Germany this year. There's a lot changing, and a lot of that will dictate ultimately what Lagarde decides, what the ECB decides on these reviews. And these overall sort of the remit, I guess you could say. Mm.
Stephen Gallo, always good having you on. Thanks again for being with us. That is Stephen Gallo, head of European FX strategy at BMO Capital Markets. And taking a look at the euro against the dollar right now, a little bit of weakness on the session. 111.25 is the euro handle against the dollar. The British pound weakening against the dollar on those UK retail sales figures. Sterling is at 130.52 against the dollar. Futures on Wall Street moving higher. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper, named Best Global Accounting Firm for the third year in a row by Hedgeweek, a leading hedge fund industry publication. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/FS.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are gaining after data out of China show some stability to end the year. The world's second largest economy grew 6% in the fourth quarter, while retail sales, fixed asset investment, and industrial output all beat estimates. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
China's economy showed further signs of perking up in December. Industrial production advanced 6.9%. That easily beat a Bloomberg estimate of 5.9%. Retail sales growing 8%, just ahead of an estimate of 7.9%. And fixed asset investment year-to-date up 5.4%. Now, for all of 2019, 58% of China's growth was down to consumption, with investment at 31% and 11% coming from net exports. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. And as the ink dries on the U.S. and China's Phase 1 trade deal, the EU's new trade chief is questioning the agreement. Phil Hogan says the EU may bring a case to the WTO if it determines the deal violates trading rules. The trade commissioner is also looking to boost Europe's relationship with America.
If we go about this in the right way, working together, the mutual benefits can be very significant. But if we fail to do so, the damage will be significant also.
Hogan calls White House tariff threats short-sighted electioneering and says President Trump's America First agenda is creating an international trade crisis.
The Fed is also in focus today. The White House says President Trump plans to nominate Judy Shelton and Christopher Waller to the central bank. The formal announcement now moves the nominations to the Senate.
In the UK, retail sales plunged in December, declining 0.6%, and the pound is weakening on the data, currently trading at 130.49 against the dollar.
On the corporate front, Gap shares are up 5% in early trading. The retailer is scrapping plans to pin a spin-off its Old Navy unit. We get more from Bloomberg's Jordan Holman.
Old Navy has kind of slowed down in growth. It looks like the company's saying, hey, we're going to focus on the management side and not do this larger separation.
The Gap was one of the worst performing stocks in the S&P 500 last year, falling 31%. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are up about 8 points. Dow futures up 77. NASDAQ futures up 32. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring back Michael Barr for a check of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The impeachment trial of President Donald Trump is opened in the Senate. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says new evidence reinforces the need for senators to call additional witnesses. President Trump again insisted he's done nothing wrong. Trump says last year's phone call with Ukraine's president was a perfect call.
The transcript was perfectly accurate. And now everybody agrees because it went through a lot. And they said, well, could you add one word here? Our lieutenant colonel said, well, I think they should add. They added the word. Everyone agrees the transcript is perfecto, done by total professionals.
Senate Democrats say the evidence presented thus far points to wrongdoing by the president when he pressured a foreign government to investigate a political rival. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Do the American people want someone from overseas determining who's their president, who's their governor, who's their senator, who's their congressman? This is what the nation has feared for centuries.
The full trial will begin next Tuesday. There are more accusations from a former associate of Rudy Giuliani. Lev Parnas said that then Energy Secretary Rick Perry told Ukraine's president that he had to announce an investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden. Former U.S. Representative Christopher Collins will be sentenced today for insider trading. Prosecutors want at least 5 years. A Richmond Circuit Court judge has upheld the governor's decision to temporarily ban firearms on Virginia Capitol grounds. It's one of the security precautions the state has taken in advance of a gun rights rally on Monday. About a quarter of the entire homeless population in the U.S. lives in California as the state tries to tackle the crisis. Governor Gavin Newsom met with local officials in Oakland.
We own this issue. It's the issue of our time. The issue of homelessness is a crisis in the state of California. It has happened on our watch, and we need to meet this moment.
The governor says emergency funding is being made available to communities throughout the state to create shelters and convert hotels and motels into permanent housing. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Carlos Beltran's Mets managerial career over before it ever started. The Mets general manager is Brody Van Wagenen.
Back on November 1st, we officially hired Carlos Beltran to be our new manager. At that time, we were unaware of the Astros situation. Following that report, on Monday, the commissioner's report and findings were released. This morning, Jeff and I again met with Carlos and came to this difficult conclusion. In talking to Carlos, it was clear how challenging it was going to be for him to effectively manage the team going forward.
The Beltran joins A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora, three managers in 4 days who lost their jobs due to their involvement in the scandal. Hinch was suspended a year. Cora was almost certainly going to be. Beltran, a player on the 17 Astros, was not looking at a suspension, but was mentioned several times on the MLB report. Beltran issued a statement admitting fault, deep regret over his actions. Latest Knicks loss to Phoenix, 121-98. Three Suns, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Ricky Rubio combined for 80 points. Knicks rookie R.J. Barrett left with a sprained ankle. Rangers and Islanders at the Coliseum, tied in the final minute.
Rangers set up D'Angelo, Panarin, Sabanajay, rebound, score! Chris Kreider! It's a power play goal! Rangers lead!
Emeralds recall on MSG. Devils lost in Washington 5-2. With Bloomberg, NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on Apollo Global Management CEO Leon Black. Caleb Melby wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
You know, we started talking to people all the way back to the 1970s about Leon, his story, how he came to be one of the most powerful and ruthless people in American finance.
You can read that Leon Black profile and more in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. Coming up to 5:38 on Wall Street, that's time for the Tri-State Business Report. Happy Friday, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Same to you, Nathan. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio proposing a 2.7% increase in the city budget for the next fiscal year. That reflects an effort to control costs amid uncertainty about the impact of a $6 billion state deficit, which the governor says is due in part to unanticipated Medicaid costs. New York and Connecticut claim the Environmental Protection Agency is ignoring its legal responsibility to control sources of air pollution from upwind states. The states are suing, alleging the agency is violating a court-ordered deadline to deal with the pollution. Well, there's evidence the 2017 Republican tax law is pushing money and people from high-tax U.S. states like New York and New Jersey. In 2018, low and lower tax states gained $32 billion more in adjusted gross income than higher tax states. That's according to Bank of America Global Research. States like Florida and Texas, which don't have an income tax, are seeing more people move there. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Tom Busby, and on KMOX in St. Louis, I'll be reporting that a settlement may be close, ending thousands of lawsuits over Monsanto's Roundup weed killer.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're looking at Morgan Stanley's plan to grow its wealth management business in Asia.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio here in London. We're reporting on job cuts at UK lender Barclays.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Facebook is being sued by four potential competitors who accuse it of anti-competitive behavior.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. But those aren't all. We are watching CSX. Its shares fell 3% in late trading after the freight rail company warned sales will drop this year. The railroad says sales fell 8% in the fourth quarter, even as it cut costs to boost efficiency. And on the fixed income front, the Treasury will begin selling 20-year bonds in the coming months. Treasury predicts strong demand for the notes and will provide more details in an announcement next month. Right now, the 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.81%, 2-year 1.55%, spread of about 25 basis points there. As for the equity markets, futures pointing to a higher open on Wall Street, S&P futures ahead 8 points right now. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are marching higher alongside U.S. stock index futures as a solid start to earnings season. Easing trade tensions and promising economic data all combine to lift sentiment. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 77. NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.81%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 27 cents at $58.79 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.33% or $5.20 at $15.55.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1120 against the dollar, British pound 1.3049, and the yen is at 110.14. And today we are watching for reports on housing starts and building permits out at 8:30 Wall Street time, and 9:15 industrial production and capacity utilization. And then we get a look at consumer sentiment at 10, along with the JOLTS jobs report. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump has opened in the Senate. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi warned senators not to become all the president's henchmen. Trump derided the proceedings as a hoax. Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei said Iran had delivered a slap to the U.S.'s image as a superpower in this month's military confrontation, seeking to rally Iranians around an embattled establishment as he led Friday prayers in Tehran for the first time in 8 years. The Carlos Beltran era with the Mets ended before it even began. Beltran, who is caught up in MLB's sign-stealing accusations, is out as the team's manager just as he was ready to start his first season with the Mets.
He is the third manager to be fired in the scandal. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics and Warriors. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Islanders. The Devils lost to the Capitals. The Bruins won. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We have some downbeat data out of the United Kingdom this morning, with retail sales in Britain plunging 0.6% in December. And that is fueling bets on a rate cut from the Bank of England this month. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg FX and rate strategist Richard Jones in our Berlin bureau. And I guess what's adding to that expectation, Rich, is that many of the economists we've surveyed thought it was going to be a 0.6% gain in retail sales. So is a cut January 30th now a done deal?
Yeah. Good morning, Nathan, and happy Friday. Yeah. I think unless you wanted a stronger than seen retail sales.
Right.
Yeah. I think the problem is that we had weak November data in the UK in retail sales, and everybody was thinking, okay, I think it was the timing of Black Friday, and that we'd get a nice rebound in December, and that over the course of those two sort of holiday months, it would actually show small gains, retail sales in the UK. And not only were the December data awful, but also the November data were revised even lower. So, to answer your question, yes, a rate cut is very much on the table at the end of the month in 13 days time from the Bank of England. And, you know, this retail sales has just been the latest in what I would call a week of not only bad data. So we had retail sales today and also really weak inflation data for December on Wednesday, but also we've had four Bank of England MPC members, including the Governor Carney, come out over the past 7 or 8 days and say that, look, they're really concerned about the data. They think that they shouldn't wait if the data comes in weaker than expected to cut rates. And of course, the data that we've seen since each of them spoke has come in considerably weaker than expected. So the market has taken this and run with it. And we now have about a 3 in 4 probability that there's going to be a rate cut on the 30th of January. And with the probability being that high, the Bank of England will deliver.
Now, we just spoke with Stephen Gallo at BMO a few moments ago. He sees a bit of I guess some noise in the retail sales data. He's citing wet weather, the wait for January discounting at stores. Is there a reason to think that we could see a lift for spending in the UK as we head further into winter?
I wouldn't rule it out, and I think the points that Stephen made are valid. I think from a Bank of England perspective, though, it's not just the retail sales today that were the problem. It is the inflation data that we had on Wednesday for the month of December that really is the big problem. And that was the game changer. That was the thing for me that made me think, okay, they're definitely going to cut rates, because not only was it weaker than expected, but the actual outright levels of inflation for a central bank that's targeting inflation at 2%, to have headline inflation come in at 1.3%, on a headline basis, but also the core to come in at 1.4%, that's way too low. And the thing is, it's actually been sliding quite sharply over the past 6 months or so. I think that spooked the Bank of England, and I think that inflation data is the thing that really, really is going to force their hand and force them to cut rates this month. And you know, the market's already starting to price a second 25 basis point cut, Nathan. We've got another 10 or 11 basis points priced in after they cut rates in January. So there's big concern about the data, not only from the Bank of England, but amongst investors. And even if retail sales does bounce in January, I think it's the inflation data that is the problem here.
Just a few seconds left here. What are the chances that the prospect of fiscal spending from the Johnson government keeps the BOE on the sidelines? Just quickly.
I think minimal. I think they're going to cut rates. And I think if they need to undo it because fiscal spending kicks in, they can do that next year.
All right. Bloomberg FX and rate strategist Richard Jones, thanks again for being with us here this morning from our Berlin studio. And Bloomberg customers can get more from Rich and the rest of the Markets Live team by typing MLIV Go on the Bloomberg terminal. And you can get the latest market pricing and probability on a Bank of England rate cut by typing WIRP Go. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The head of the Federal Permitting Improvement Steering Council plans to increase staff. The group's existence and its environmental permitting services will be marketed more aggressively to private companies and local governments. Andrew Brasher, nominated by President Trump to the Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit, is a step closer to confirmation. A Senate panel advanced his nomination. Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo's proposed budget would increase taxes on high-value real estate sales and raise the earned income tax credit.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story. We're watching Apple and the U.S. government once again at odds over access to iPhones involved in a terrorist attack. Attorney General William Barr is going after the company for not unlocking devices belonging to the perpetrator of a December attack at a Florida Navy base. For more on the issues involved, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Matthew Green, an expert in cryptography and professor at Johns Hopkins University.
So why can't the government get into these iPhones?
Well, actually, that's one of the questions everybody's asking right now. We know that the government has technology that allows it to unlock iPhones specifically. In the past, it's been able to use that technology pretty effectively. This time it can't, and we don't know why. We don't know what the reason is. It's possible that it has something to do with the fact that these phones were damaged by the shooter in that case, but otherwise we're just speculating.
How does Apple normally comply with a warrant? Because in this case, they said that they did give them access to many gigabytes of information, including what was in the cloud.
Right. So warrants mean lots of different things. Apple operates cloud services like iCloud, and those are not end-to-end encrypted, so Apple can access that data typically if they receive a warrant. It's the encrypted data that's on the phone that I think in this case is the information they can't retrieve. So they can help. They just can't help with this specific request.
Apple CEO Tim Cook once said that building a backdoor into the phone was the software equivalent of cancer. Does Apple have a point in saying that backdoors can be exploited by people who threaten national security and the data security of those who have the iPhone?
So I think that's absolutely true. And we know, for example, the President of the United States uses Apple phones and Google Android phones on a regular basis. So there's not some sort of super secure phone that, you know, only people in national security are using. They use these phones too. So making these regular phones like iPhones secure is actually important to national security.
Is there some kind of balance that Apple and the government can strike?
So this is the tricky thing, right? We know we have some very, you know, obvious evidence that not encrypting things leads to hacks. We've seen some really serious ones during the 2016 elections. We saw how this can even, you know, potentially alter the course of something as important as a national election. We also know that encryption is one of the best tools we have to prevent these kinds of attacks. If that was the end of the story, then we would just say encrypt everything and fix this. The problem is, you know, as this case illustrates, there is this question of law enforcement equities. We don't yet know how to build encryption that is secure against hackers and yet allows law enforcement access when they want. It's a very complicated issue, and a lot of people are thinking about it hard.
And that's Johns Hopkins University Professor Matthew Green speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 75 and NASDAQ futures up 35. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.81%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.55%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5%. It's at $58.79 a barrel. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.